Yo, what's up? Welcome back to Hustlers. This is going to be an episode on costs involved in sea freight. So we've moved a lot to sea freight now. I'm learning heaps more about it. I've sat down with someone from my freight forwarder to talk more about it so I could understand it rather than just paying the invoices that are coming in. So I'm going to teach you as usual. Again, disclaimer, I'm not an expert on all this stuff. It's just as I'm learning, I'm teaching you. So first of all, this podcast is brought to you by Arepa. A cognitive brain drink made for mental performance under stress and fatigue. You can use it before a podcast, you can use it before a game of rugby. Basically helps you, scientifically proven to help you perform under stress and fatigue. So use promo code 138 online and you get 20% off. This podcast is also brought to you by Kale Kirk. He is a real estate agent based out of the Bay of Plenty, and he's also a good friend of mine. He is fucking killing it. He was nominated as the top first year agent in all of New Zealand. The average real estate agent, I think, sells 1 to 3 homes in their first year. He sold 36. He sold over $100 million in real estate, and he's only been in the game for 3 years, coming up as fourth, and he's also one of the top in the Bay of Plenty. So make sure you go check him out. Go give him a follow. If you need to sell your house, go hit him up. He's your man.
This renovated character villa is ready for you to move right in. Welcome home.
We'll get right into it. So basically, as you all know, shipping has just become crazy around the country and around the world. And so I've tried to be most cost efficient and moved everything to a boat. And there is like pros and cons to that. I do think there still is space for air freight where you kind of just need to get it here. I was talking to a good mate of mine, Joe Webb, who owns Uno. Basically, like something he said, which really stuck with me was, if you've got it, if you've sold it, like pre-orders, if you've sold it and you don't have it on hand, that's a loss to you. So sometimes it's worth just chucking it in the air and losing a bit of money off the margins, I guess. So yeah, as I said, I think there's a place for both. But yeah, this is just sort of what I've been learning over sea freight over the last wee bit. So first of all, what most places will get you on is an EXW basis. So you have different terms of shipping with the company or the factory or the manufacturer that you're working with. And if you're not doing a whole lot of huge numbers, and by huge numbers, I mean, you know, 1,000 units of one item or anything more than that. If you're not doing that sort of stuff, you'll usually get put on EXW, which means basically once it's finished, you have to pick it up from the warehouse in China and you pay for the shipping, you pay for it to get to a boat, you pay for the boat to get it here, and then you pay for it to be dispatched here. If you were on, don't quote me on this, but stuff like FOB, there's different terms where you can actually, they actually get it to the boat for you, which is a lot of cost involved. If you look at the breakdown, there's heaps involved in getting it from the actual factory to the boat itself or on the port and loaded at the port. So yeah, once you get bigger and you get to get into that, you save a lot more money as well. So yeah, so basically we're on EXW, as a lot of people would be here. So this is all based off EXW. First thing to note, I think, in costs of sea freighters and any freight, is that there is a free trade agreement between China and New Zealand. So basically you don't have to pay import duties or anything like that when you bring it in. So that's a positive. We use a freight forwarder for all shipping on a boat. I tried once myself, but holy shit, it was a mission. So I've kind of just gone towards a freight forwarding company, and they manage all of our stuff. So I've got an email of a lady who looks after us called Kelly. Basically when we make orders and stuff, we kind of CC her in, so she knows when it's sort of roughly going to be finished. She times it with boats that are leaving China, so we can get into, you know, onto the right boats and get it here on time. So first thing I would recommend is find a freight forwarder, a good freight forwarder. They make your life a hell of a lot easier. So they pretty much just send you the invoices of what needs to be paid, and they deal with all the other side, the back end of things. So first thing that you're going to have to pay, obviously, is your cost of shipping. So what it costs you, like I said, to get it to the boat, on the boat, get it here on the boat, and then dispatched out. Because if you're doing it through a freight forwarder, they'll deal with all of that in one. So they'll put it all in one invoice, and you'll get paid this. You'll you'll pay an invoice that tells you, okay, this is how much it's cost it to get it to the boat, on the boat, get it here, and get it dispatched to you. That's your first payment, shipping, your cost of shipping, cost of moving it. And then your second payment that you're going to pay is your tax invoice, so your customs invoice, GST. So basically anything that you bring into New Zealand that's worth over $1,000 value of what you paid for it, you have to pay 15% of that in GST to customs every time you bring it in. So for example, if I bring in $2,000 worth of stuff, 15% of that is $300, so I have to pay, I owe customs GST $300, sorry, customs $300 of GST. Now there's different ways that you can do this. I think you can make an account with customs where it kind of just gets charged to your account. At the moment, I just kind of pay it directly to the our freight forwarder, and then the freight forwarder pays it on my behalf. That's kind of like how it works for me. But I guess what you need to know with that is you fully can claim, you can claim all of that back because it's GST. So it's a weird one to bring. I think it's actually, I'm not even going to touch on why it's there, but the good thing is you can claim it all back. It's just a little bit niggly that you have to pay it, but it's something you have to pay. So those are your two main invoices. This podcast is also brought to you by Manscaped. Quick ad stoppage here. Trusted by 4 million men around the world. I personally use the Lawnmower 4.0. You've got to keep the weapon in check, man. And truth be told, it actually adds a few inches. So make sure you jump online and use promo code 138 on manscaped.com, and it'll give you 20% off plus free shipping. They're actually running a special at the moment. I think it's something like 40% off. So you get an additional 20% off. That's 60% off plus free shipping. Promo code 138 at manscaped.com. The last thing I sort of want to touch on is just allowing time. You'll pretty much usually get a date where it's going to get here, or it's going to be loaded onto the ship or anything like that. Those 9 times out of 10, those dates change. So you really got to allow time, and you got to be on time with things. So you got to be ahead of the game, and you don't allow it to, you know, don't expect it to, when it says it's going to arrive on the 10th of June or something, don't set something up for the 12th of June, because you're going to have your things 2 days before. Like, allow for it to be late, because usually it is. And that's at no one's fault, really. Like, you can't really control what the oceans are going to be like and things like that, but yeah, you just got to allow for it and know that it's going to happen. Sometimes it might come on time. Personally, I haven't had one that's come on time, but it may come on time for other people, I don't know. But yeah, for me, I personally try and allow time now and know that, you know, it's not going to make it to me at the time that it says it's going to make it to me initially. Another thing I think to touch on around timings and things like that is, if you have, like, say, for example, for me, a freight forwarder, I deal with her around certain, say, like for China, for example, they have a lot of holidays in a year. They got Chinese New Year, Dragon Festival, they got all these different things that always pop up. And then they have this week, I think it's called week or month, called like Golden Week or Golden Month. Correct me if I'm wrong. If you know it, chuck it in the comments. But it's between August and early August to September, that sort of area. And it's pretty much where, like, the whole, like, sea freight side of things stops. And that's because, you know, they stop manufacturing over in China for a wee while. And so, like, if you were to try and do a September drop or whatever, you're going to need to allow for the fact that you're not going to be able to send it from this time. So making sure that you know that those dates are coming up and planning for it. So, okay, if I'm going to do a September drop, usually I would send it in at the start of August. I'm going to have to do it a little bit earlier than that. I'm going to have to do it a month earlier than that and be plan ahead, because I know these things shut down. And then Chinese New Year, that's in like late January, early February for us. It's another one that'll sting you, and it gets me every year. I always forget about it. But now I like deal with the freight forwarder. She tells me these things that are happening during the key dates to notice during the year. Then I make sure that I look out for those, so I'm not late, and I know pretty much, you know, when something's coming up, so I can plan accordingly for it. So that's pretty much it. Again, you know, just be people up there that are going to know more than me about this, but it's currently what I'm learning about. Thanks for supporting the podcast. Going to be another one coming very soon. That's us. Later.